All right. Well, if you look in your bulletin, you will see 1 + 1 = more. And this is the first week of our new series that's going to run for 6 weeks. Today, it's 1 + 1 = more love. Next week, 1 + 1 = more growth. Then more strength, more power, more success, more friends. If you look closely at the people inside the circle, you will find yourself somewhere there. 1 + 1 = more. Our whole theme this year is that you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We need to connect with God and with each other. And some good things come out of that when we connect with God in each other. And the first thing that comes out of it, we have more love. More love. Now, there is a fill-in sheet in your bulletin. If you'd like to take it out, follow along with us this morning as we go. Well, why would we say 1 + 1 = more love? More love. Because you can't love in a vacuum. You can't love alone, is your fill-in. You can't love alone. Love requires an object. I suppose you could sort of enjoy loving yourself in a way, but that's not really the kind of love that the Bible is talking about here. There needs to be someone else that love is bestowed upon. And really, when you think about it, that is why God created the world. We would not know God's love without creation, without His creating us, and then God so loved the world. God's love is the greatest I think could ever be, because He doesn't just love one more and then one more, but He loves the world. Now, that's hard for us to love the world, but God's love is so great that He can love the world. And if we're going to tap into the love of God and experience it and have more love in our life, then it involves other people. You have to connect with other people. And we're going to see today that first we connect with God and His love, and then it allows us to connect with others and express His love to other people. And so this is an important topic. Love is the essence of everything. I mean, really, when you come really boil it all down, love is the essence of being Christian. It says in the Bible that we will be known by our love, not known by our doctrine, not known by our fierceness in defense of truth, but we're to be known by our love. And really, in many ways, Christianity stands alone in that among religions of the world. And we need to embrace the central teaching and not just give it lip service, but let it be something that really is in our life, that expresses itself to others, that the world may know about God. So, your first fill-in, you can't love alone. Love requires an object. Your next fill-in, the greatest love is not earned. The greatest love is not earned. Jesus gave, well, He was in a situation where He was at a person's house, quite a respectable man's house, a well-established individual, Simon. And this woman comes in and anoints His feet with oil, but her background was not the best. She was a prostitute. And when she comes in and she anoints the feet of the Lord, they start talking. Doesn't He know this woman, the way she is, how she's, you know, why is He letting her do this to Him? And so Jesus, if we find here Luke 7, He says, "And then Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you." So Simon said, "Teacher, say on." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, I don't know, but I can, as I'm reading this, I'm right there in the scene. As I'm reading this, I can see Jesus. I'm right there in the scene. Simon sitting, the woman's there at his feet. Jesus trying to give a truth to this man, Simon. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. I don't think we fully understand the state of our existence. We can be so distracted with things of life. We move through life, but we don't see the eternal realities. That we're going to stand before a God who is faithful and just, and every sin is going to be judged, and there's a tremendous consequence that hangs over our head. We're going to be eternally separated from God. We're going to be eternally judged. But God has forgiven us. God has been gracious to us. And sometimes it amazes us, me as a Christian, even looking at myself, not looking beyond myself, how indifferent sometimes we can be towards the Lord. We haven't truly understood his great love for us, what it cost him to forgive us. How quickly we can judge other people that we think are not as worthy as we are, and not as good as we are. They're not acting as right as we are. They're not acting in a proper manner. I would never do the things they are doing. And we can have a Simon attitude. But I'm hoping today that we'd have more love. More love than we've ever had before. And we realize that love is not earned. The greatest love is not earned. But it's something that we bestow upon people. And that the reaction that comes as we bestow this love towards people, that there's a love that's produced in our heart that comes back. And so we need to always keep our hearts right and soft and keep a right perspective. Jesus said it so clearly. How can you not forgive your brother when your heavenly Father's forgiven you so much? We can read that verse, we can read over that verse, we can excuse our disregard for other people somehow in this mixture. But when we really understand God's forgiveness, it's almost impossible not to forgive others. When you really see his love for us, how can we not forgive someone else who have sinned? God is our example is your next fill-in. God is our example. Romans 5, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love, his own love towards us, in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. It's easy to love someone that's loving. It's easy to love someone who's lovely. But God demonstrates his love towards us while we were still sinners, while we were still in rebellion, while we were still acting wrong, while we were still defiant, resistant, not submissive. He died for us. The love that we need, the more love that we need is not just more of a natural love. Natural love, I suppose the greatest form of natural love is a mother's love, a father's love for their children, laying down your life. And even it would be great to lay down our life for a good person. Good person, especially a younger good person, you know, because say, well, I've lived my life, they got more of their life to live. You know, if I laid down my life for a good person. But we're talking about a greater love, more love, not just a love we've experienced in the natural, but a love that reaches out beyond us, that can embrace people that are not perfect. And that's our next fill-in. People we love are imperfect. People we love are imperfect. Do you ever notice that? We just went through Valentine's Day. When if you go back to high school, or not high school, public school, I guess they did it in high school too. Less, but when I was a grade one or grade two, I grew up on a farm. I didn't know anything about Valentine's Day until Valentine's Day came, and we were going to be giving these little Valentines for people, and there were a couple people that I looked, Marjorie White, Donna Arms, the cutest girls in grade one. I gave them Valentines. I don't remember getting one from them. Maybe I did, but might have a Charlie Brown complex. I don't know. A little red-haired girl. But you look for someone that you like, you know, someone that's the nicest. That's going to be my Valentine. And you find that perfect person, and you marry them. And suddenly you find out they're not perfect. They're not what you thought. True, it's so true what Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As I mentioned, it's easy to love those that are loving and that are lovely. But people don't always act that way. It's easy to love people we don't have contact with. It's easy to love people from a distance. I've said before, I love every Christian in China. I've had no conflict, no run-ins with anybody. I love all the Christians in Saskatchewan. Never been to Saskatchewan. It's easy to love people that you only hear about, read about, think about. It's a little harder to love people that you're living with. And that's where we actually need more love, though. We need the more love for those people that are the closest to us. We need to love people that it's not always acting in a way you would understand or the way you think they should act. It's hard to continue to love someone that's mistreating you or you feel is neglecting you, insensitive to your feelings, bringing you pain in some way, bringing you distress. Natural love soon runs out on that. But that's when we have to have more love than our own love, a love that goes beyond what we could just muster, a love that goes beyond just looking at right and wrong. And folks, I've said this so often, if you constantly look at the world through right and wrong, you're going to live a pretty miserable existence. Because there's lots of wrong in the world. There's lots of evil that's going to be done towards you. There's a lot of injustice and offenses that will come your way. And if you're looking for it, you will find it every day. And the more you find it and the more you look at it, the more it's going to affect you. You just have to get past that sense of what is happening to me and to realize I need to love people that are not loving me. Your next fill-in says the greatest love is self-sacrificial. The greatest love is self-sacrificial. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You can love for what you get back from loving. I put myself out for this person. I do a kind deed, I do a sacrificial deed, and as a result, I get something back in return. There's a return for my investment of love. And that is a love that is not sufficient because you're not always going to get a love back. Sometimes there's a giving of yourself and there's nothing that comes back. And you feel like you're just laying down your life for someone else. And truly, that's the kind of love that Jesus had for us. He took our faults, our penalty, what we didn't deserve, and he took it upon himself. And, you know, I was talking to Curtis as we were doing the pre-baptism talk, and he really grasped and took hold of that and realized that truth. And so Jesus took our place. He didn't have to. He took our wrongs, died in our place. We just receive it. We're so happy for it. And we identify with it in the waters of baptism to say, I'm bearing my life that Jesus took my penalty for. The penalty of my death has been carried out. And the Lord did that. He died. He bore it for us. Here's your next fill-in. Love is a response to God's love and a decision. Love is a response to God's love and a decision. If you're going to have more love, then you have to connect to God. We love him because he first loved us, the scripture says. All love originates in God. It starts in God. Every good gift comes from God. God is love. He doesn't just try to be loving. He is love, and I'm so glad that that's true. So God is loving. He cares for us. And so I need to connect with him, receive that love. And, you know, that's what our prayer at the very beginning of this service, we prayed, Lord, would we experience your love? Thank you that you love us. May not one person in this place realize leave here without realizing God loves them, cares for you, he's got a plan for your life, gave his life for you, died in your place. That's how much God loves us. And so we need to love him. And when we experience that love, it almost like it fills the reservoir so that we can love other people. If your reservoir is not filled by God's love, you will try to have it filled by other people's love. And that will always be insufficient. And you'll always gauge what you're getting for what you're giving. But it's only when you have this free, amazing deposit of God's love and you sense it and realize it, that you feel full. I don't have to have someone else's approval because I have God's approval. I don't have to have someone else praise me because God praises me. I don't have to have someone else speak well of me because God speaks well of me. I don't have to please someone else because God is pleased. I don't have to try to garner the favor of someone else because God is already. And when you're just complete and whole and satisfied in the Lord, it fills you up to a degree that now you can be a dispenser of his love for others. So freely we have received, freely we need to give. So love is a response to God's love. And secondly, it's a decision. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. That's the gold standard right there. This is how we know love, because he laid his life down for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for other people. Easy verse to read, but that is the essence of a Christian walk. Satisfied with God, filled with God's love and approval, that we're able then to take injury from others and love them in return and forgive them in return and not be so shaken because of their disapproval, because of their lack of love, because of their misbehavior towards us, their offense towards us. It shakes us so much. It only will shake you when you don't have a solid foundation in God's love. But when you have his love, then there's something in you that allows you to grow. But you have to decide. This is the decision. I wrote this down and I put it in your notes because I just wanted you to keep it and be able to read it. Your love is not just a feeling of affection towards someone. Feeling of affection. A feeling. A feeling that's come because they have treated me nicely, benefited me, spoke kindly, showed me attention. So I have a feeling of affection towards that person. Your love is not just a feeling of affection towards someone because they've treated you well, but rather it is a decision based on resolve to act in the best interest of someone, whether they treat you well or not. It's a decision based in resolve to act in the best interest of someone else. 1 Corinthians 13, and this is your next fill-in. God's love is defined. God's love is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It really fleshes it out. In case we missed it, in case it's too much up in the air, the Lord says, let me just really define it here in terms that you can understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And these verses say, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When have you had it? And that's it. You're done. You're finished. You're through. That's it. I'm not going to take this anymore. We need to pull on God's love. More love than what you've ever experienced before. And let it be in your life. Now, I just broke it down, the 12 things that says here about love. Now, let me just say this before we go, and I'm not going to take a long time. Our time is running out this morning, but we would think the best kind of situation to be in is to be in a relationship or around people, work with people, whatever, that are loving people. They're kind. They're treating me right. They're acting the way God wants them to act. It would just be the most perfect thing if I could find a spouse like that. We would just naturally connect. We would just naturally be supportive of one another. But you would only then experience natural love. You'd never have to pull upon a love that's deeper than natural love. And God wants us to have more love, more than a natural love. C.S. Lewis wrote a letter to a friend of his who had lost his wife. And he, in that letter, said, God has given you a severe mercy. A severe mercy. I think sometimes you may be living with someone or working by someone or living beside someone who is very unloving. God has given you a severe mercy. A severe mercy. It's severe. It's hurt. It's sharp. It's a severe mercy. But it's a mercy because he's given you an opportunity. He's set the stage for you to experience a love you've never ever experienced before. He's placed you in a place where you can shine, where you'll be a bright light in this world. Because if you only love the way the world loves, then you're at the same level they are. But when you love when the world says, love should run out now, you shine like a bright light, and you show the difference. And God's given many of us a severe mercy. And the more you dedicate yourself to the Lord, I think the more people are around you, God adds that one more and that one more and that one more that you have to draw on his love to be able to express it to them. And here's the characteristics. It suffers long and is kind. Now, there's three things here. When you write the Valentine out, is in your mind thinking, I'm going to suffer because of this. I'm going to suffer because I love someone. And you just need to know that if you love someone and to the depths that God wants you, you're going to suffer. And you're not just going to suffer, you're going to suffer long. It's not going to be over in a day. It's not going to be over in a month. You're going to suffer, and you're going to suffer long. And you're still going to be kind. You're not going to react in this. The gentleness and kindness is still going to be there because you're not relying upon what the person is doing towards you. You're drawing from God's love. And you're just being a dispenser of God's love so you can suffer long and you can be kind. And it does not envy. This love doesn't envy. Envy is wanting something that someone else has. And it's not always just things. But we want to be treated like they're treated. We want to get what they're getting. And we compare ourselves. And we do this thing of, what am I getting compared to what they're getting? But love doesn't do that. Love doesn't weigh it out and say, well, they're getting an advantage over me. They got the promotion. They're getting the recognition. Love doesn't think that way. It doesn't envy. It's not wanting what someone else, but it's a giving. When you love, you give, and you're excited, and you're happy. You rejoice with someone else. The third thing, it does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Notice that all of these characteristics of love are in the aspect of other people. You see, you can't love without other people around you. In other words, I want to be recognized. I want to be paraded. You know, the parade, there's people. I want other people to see me as doing well and being successful and being important. And so we look to take the credit for things, and we're very carefully judging how I'm seen as a result of this. But this person doesn't parade itself, not puffed up, not thinking it's something more than what it really is or who he or she is. Number four, it does not behave rudely. Why are we rude? We're rude when someone mistreats us. So inherent in this thing that you do not behave rudely, it means when you are mistreated, you don't respond in kind. You don't give a short answer when someone else has given you a short answer. You don't give the same retort. It's not evil for evil, reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, return blessing, knowing that you're called to this, the scripture says. This is what we're called to love people. So don't think it's strange when fiery trials come upon us. God's just set the stage for you to be a bright light and to love and have a severe mercy that you can now show God's love to people that anyone else would reject. Does not seek its own. It's not possessive. It's not like a child. That's my toy. That's my toy. Could be playing with all these toys. Another child comes in, leaves these. That's my toy. Possessive. I've got to be the one in control. I've got to be the one that is enjoying this. It's not provoked. Now again, if you're not provoked, it means you're in a situation when someone has provoked you. Well, if I'm in a loving relationship, the other person won't provoke me. We really need to grow up. You will be provoked. You'll be irritated. You won't understand. You'll get angry. If you're operating on a natural love, if you don't see God's love, if you haven't experienced his acceptance, you're going to want it to get it from other people. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. This is a little harder when you look into it. It's interesting, and we're running out of time, but in the Bible, when you think evil, it means you're negative. If you have an evil eye, it's someone that's negative. You always see the bad in a situation. What are you looking for in any situation? Right and wrong? Again, I say to you, if you have that grid, you're not going to be happy. This thing looks for the best. There could be eight things that's wrong. It'll find, you know, 8 out of 10 things are wrong. They'll find the 2 things that's right. It doesn't think evil. It doesn't think on the negative. It has a positive, optimistic outlook. It just believes things, and that takes us to the next one. We're going to get to it in a moment. Let's just go on to the next one. 8, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. If you go a little deeper in this, the Amplified Version says, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. In other words, it doesn't rejoice in injustice. Now, why would we rejoice in injustice? If it went our way, if we got something we didn't really deserve, we got the break over someone else, but maybe we had to just say it a little wrong, couch the situation in a bit of a lie, because we want to get the advantage, and then we're happy. Oh, man, I got that. But it says it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in injustice, but just wants truth, just wants it. However the chips may fall, I just want God's righteousness to be in all this. It bears all things. How much will you put up with? How much will you put up with? Well, it bears all things. It carries the weight. It bears all things. It believes all things, number 10. Believes all things. If you look at, talks about being, believe the best in every person. It comes around this same thing again, that you're thinking the best. You jump to the best conclusion, not to the worst conclusion. You just believe the best about people. It doesn't assign sinister motives to people. When something happens, you immediately don't say, well, I know why they did that because of this and that and this, and you go in the negative. Why don't we go to the positive? Well, I can understand why they would do that because maybe they were thinking this, and you go to the best conclusion. It doesn't jump to the worst conclusion. And it hopes all things, number 11. Hopes all things. Hope is involved in every situation. What's the definition of hope? The confident expectation that things are going to get better. Do you have a confident expectation that things are going to get better? You can do anything for a day. But it's when I project beyond this day, it's never going to change. It's never going to change. No hope. Things are going to get worse. I can't put up with this any longer. Well, I could put up with it for today. And Jesus, in his teaching, said, don't project beyond today. Hope in God. And love hopes the best. It believes the best. It believes that things are going to get better. And lastly, it endures all things. Endures all things. It outlasts everything. Every situation, every circumstance, it endures. It goes through it without weakening. These are the characteristics of God's love, the more love that he wants to place in our hearts. Can we stand together this morning? Now, the Bible says that we love because he first loved us. All of these things God did towards us. I mean, this is the feeling that he had for us when he went to the cross. When he laid down his life for us, he loved the world. He loved us. And we've got to reach out this morning and say, Lord, I just want to receive your love. I'm not going to get down on myself because you're not down on me. I'm not going to give up on myself because you haven't given up on me. I'm not going to be discouraged and think life is worthless because, Lord, you have a plan for my life. You have a wonderful plan for my life. And you're not going to say, well, you know what, that was fine, but now I've messed it up because of this and this and this, or my life is messed up because this other person's ruined my life. How did that other person get to be God? No one can ruin your life. Absolutely no one can ruin your life. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And so you rejoice in that. And you receive that love. And you bask in it. And you soak in his love. And then as a result, you can reach out in his love towards others. And you are excited when you have an opportunity to show God's love to someone else. I'm praying for the more love. The more love in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, the people you're working with, your extended relatives, whoever it might be, the people that you, I'm just praying that God will give us more love, more love, more love. Would you just raise your hand if you'd like to be included in this prayer and you just reach out to God for his love this morning. Father, we reach up to you to say, Lord, help us to experience this love. I just sense, Lord, there's people in this place that are discouraged. They're down. They feel their life has been affected by someone else. They just feel a dead end. They don't see any hope. I just pray, Lord, that you would just wrap your arms around us, enlighten our minds, help us to see your great love for us, that your love never gives up, it never runs out. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you would just show us more and more your love. And then, Lord, help us to decide and resolve that we're going to love other people regardless of how they treat us. We're going to especially love those that are unloving and unlovely. And Lord, by your grace, help us to move in this world as an example and expressions of your love to the world. And Lord, make this real. May it be real, not just something in our heads, but help us to really walk this out day by day in our attitudes and our actions and our words. Lord, empower us by your love. And may, Lord, we be that love to other people. I ask, Lord, that you would just saturate us this morning. Do something we can't do. Do something that words can't do. Lord, and a special impartation of your Holy Spirit. Baptize us in your love, Lord, this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Curtis, come and stand right here. I'm going to ask the elders. They'll come quickly. Just face me. If the elders will come, we're going to lay our hands upon Curtis as they did in the Bible for this very thing to happen. You know, this is really what this is all about. Once they were baptized, they laid their hands on them that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit baptizes us in his love. And I'm just going to pray that for you, Curtis. And would you just stretch your hands towards us as we would lay our hands on Curtis. Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you, Lord, for his yielding to you, the softness and sensitivity of his spirit, that when he heard and felt your spirit, he quickly responded and yielded and say, I want to follow you. I want to be a Christian. I want to be different. And Lord, I ask that now, in this moment, as we lay our hands upon Curtis, that all the power of the Holy Spirit would flow into his life. Begin to transform him from the inside out. Get into the very depths of his being, Lord, and change him in the very core of his being.